everyone. Welcome to the Yuri on Ice After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Today we are discussing Episode 7, China's On, the Grand Prix Series opening event, the Cup of China Free Skate, and Episode 8, Yuri versus Yuri, the Horror Rosslecum Cup short program. We'll be breaking down the episodes and talking about all of the amazing figure skating that we saw on them, as well as all of the fabulous emotional development in just a moment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
No.
But why?
Oh my god. If you guys are listening on iTunes, I highly recommend checking this out on YouTube to see the fabulous dancing that's happening, particularly on the part of Mark Donica.
Yeah, my parka. My parka's a-dancing.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Yuri on Ice After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you guys have not done so already, please go over to iTunes, subscribe to us there, leave us a review. We have, like, 5 reviews to read on this episode, guys. It's really amazing. So thank you so much for all of the love over there. So remember, if you do listen on iTunes, that you can also check us out on YouTube as well, so you can experience things like Mark Donica
so much dancing,
busting out the King JJ moves.
This is weird because this is the first episode where I haven't sat next to you and had to do something silly for the intro.
I know.
So I had to make up for it.
I know. Wow. Well, I feel like you really, really did.
Right track.
And then some of you are watching live on YouTube right now. We're monitoring that live chat.
Yes, we are.
As well as that hashtag YuriABTV, which you can use to talk to us throughout the show, throughout the week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, throughout your entire lives. Allow me to introduce my fabulous panel here, Mark Donica.
Hi, I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Super excited to be here again for the Yuri on Ice After Show. Love it.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Me too. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
We may be calling Alexis
yeah.
In a little while here. She's
currently in the chat.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hi, Alexis. But I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet wherever Emma Fifes are sold at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE, for those of you who are listening. I feel like I missed, like, the color coordination. Like, you guys totally, go together over there.
Oh, I was going to say, I had a red beanie that I could have worn and then just been the mix of two, but I tossed it on the couch.
That's okay. Sorry. That's all right. No, you guys look great. It's really good with the color scheme for the show.
Thanks,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
So, episode 7 is sort of the second half of the China skating event that's mm-hmm. part of the mm-hmm. Grand Prix series. Before we really get into talking about these episodes, I do want to give a shout out to Lois Elfman on Twitter. She actually writes for Ice Network. And so she gave me a couple of really good resources for keeping up with figure skating, one of them being usfigureskating.org, which is the official US figure skating site, and then the website that she writes for, icenetwork.com, which is a joint venture between Sports on Earth and US Figure Skating. There's video streaming of major events, including the Grand Prix, the U.S. Championships, and the World Championships. And there is an annual fee for the video service, but a lot of the written content is free.
This is probably the same or a similar website to what all of Yuri's friends and family in Japan were trying to watch the Rosslecum Cup on.
Yes.
Yeah. trying and failing.
That was great. And this is something that comes up repeatedly throughout the series, actually, which just really grounds it in taking place in the here and now. Mm-hmm. The issues of the Wi-Fi is not strong enough. Kind of like the Wi-Fi is not necessarily always great in this studio because we're the furthest away from the router.
Or the girls having to watch it live. It's like, yes, no, we gotta watch it live!
Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. So good. So I just wanted to give a shout out to her for pointing those out so we were able to share them with all of our listeners and viewers. She's certainly more of a figure skating authority than any of us are.
God, yes.
Though we do all certainly enjoy it, and this show has certainly rekindled my love of figure skating, which was very, very strong in the 90s. But anyway, moving on to the episodes. So we're at the second half, basically, of the event in China. And so it's the free skate. The free skate's the longer program. And Yuri is in first place, which he is not used to being in. And it's not, he's not doing great.
We're not handling it that, yeah.
Poor child not doing so well. He's not sleeping. He's not really able to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And also he has Victor for a coach who can't focus even more.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't help.
True. I know my favorite was when... So Victor realizes that, like, Yuri hasn't slept at all. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you didn't get any sleep, did you? And he just, like, throws him on the ground and throws a blanket on top of him and then proceeds to lay on top of him and is like, it's okay, you can just nap. I never slept.
He passes out.
I know. Straight up. Sleeping.
So good.
Yuri's like, really?
But I have I just related to this not getting enough sleep before a major event so much.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
Yeah.
Done that.
Yeah. I mean, I just have flashbacks to, like, any time you know you're not going to get enough sleep, and you're, like, laying in bed, and you're like, okay, if I fell asleep right now, I could still get 6 hours of sleep. Okay, if I fell asleep right now...
5 hours and 59 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, exactly. You just count down, and that doesn't help. It just makes it worse.
It just makes it totally worse.
You're putting this extra pressure on yourself. It's like, yes. Okay, no, so now you've got this that you're looking forward to tomorrow, or like,
right,
that you've got to deal with, and also fall asleep now.
Yep.
Do all of these things.
I think my favorite thing about this episode was now we have the full shift to Victor as an unreliable storyteller.
Yeah.
Because we know how Yuri's feeling.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. we've been with him for these past couple of episodes.
Yes.
So we know
right.
exactly what he's feeling, what's going through his mind, and now how does that affect everybody else, and how does that affect Victor as a coach and as a friend and as a whatever he is considered to be.
Yes.
as we talked about in the last episode. But, yeah, getting a chance to have Victor freak out.
Yes.
Or it's like, oh no, I don't know what he's worried about. He shouldn't be worried. Why is he still worried? It's like, this thing is broken. It won't work.
Yeah. Well, because it is. I mean, and that's one of the things, you know, that Yuri brings up is it was like once he does end up sort of recovering to a certain extent from the incredible bout of anxiety that he's suffering, he mm-hmm. does say, he's like, well, it's not like my anxiety is a new thing. Like, this is mm-hmm. something I've been dealing with my whole life. Victor's just too inexperienced as a coach to know how to handle it.
Right.
So, anyway. But let's talk a little bit about everybody's free programs before we kind of talk about how Yuri's story resolves in this episode.
Right.
So, Guangji, the young, precious cinnamon roll skater from China, skates to a song entitled The Inferno from yet another fictional film in this universe called Shanghai Blade.
Dude, I'm all about Shanghai
Blade. I know. I would absolutely watch Shanghai Blade. Mm-hmm. Shanghai Blade to me seemed like some cool, like, Chinese, like, film noir.
Mm-hmm.
At least the way that Guang Jihong, like, told the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest problems that he had was like, well, here's another thing that I can't relate to, but I guess I'll skate it. So his heart wasn't entirely
right, like
in
his,
it.
Like his mm-hmm. flower song in the last episode, which you only saw, like, a little tiny bit of mm-hmm. the beginning of his short program. Mm-hmm. But the song's really pretty. It's on the original soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So
with this one, we got the cool other visual that we don't get for every other skater.
Right.
We've only
gotten
for him, mm-hmm. Yorgi, and the
initial conception.
The initial conception
of Eros.
For Eros.
Yeah.
So it's cool when it's interesting how they don't have that for everybody, because not everybody is trying to tell an additional story. It's like, well, this is how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Then right. it's mm-hmm. more internal than, well, let me see how I can connect with this.
Yeah, and I enjoy seeing how some of the skaters are kind of putting together the stories of the mm-hmm. songs that they are skating to. I mean, it's one of the things that Yurio struggles with so much is trying to connect to the music that he is skating to. Like, that's the mm-hmm. thing, is that, like, mm-hmm. he's a beautiful skater, he's incredibly skilled, but he doesn't necessarily embrace the artistry of it so much. And we see, again, that, you know, Guang Jihong here is, like, trying to connect mm-hmm. to this music, and he's created, and I mean, the story he's created is great,
mm-hmm.
Where he's basically, like, yeah, he's like a detective with a sword on, like, one last mission, and he's gonna go take out the bad guy, who the bad guy in his vision is Yorgi,
which is amazing.
It's so, like, great.
It fits.
Yeah, and then he encounters, you know, an unexpected ally who turns out to, of course, be Leo de Iglesias.
Saves his life.
No.
Right?
Besties, man.
They are.
They're
too good for this world.
Yes, they are. They're too great. But he falls, like, fairly early on in the program mm-hmm. and is like, well, I'm not, because he would have to place, like, I think he would have had to place in, like, the top two, basically, in order to, you know, advance on to the next part of the Grand Prix final.
Yeah.
But, he figures out early on that that's not going to happen for him. And I just loved his reaction, too, when he's over in the Kiss and Cry with his coach. And, first of all, they all have stuffed animals in the Kiss and Cry. Like, it's just, everybody just gets showered with stuffed animals at the end of every skating event, which is not unrealistic. That's definitely, like, flowers and stuffed animals and things like that, like, will get thrown to the skaters. And that's when they have, like, the cute little, like, girl skaters usually, like, skate around and they, like, gather up all the things. Kind of like the kids, like, in a tennis match. They gather the balls up.
Go get all the teddy bears.
Yeah. So he's, like, sitting there with his teddy bear and he gets a score. And he's, like, chewing on the head of the teddy bear. And he's like, I'm going to quit all social media to practice.
It's so intense all of a sudden. It's so cute.
It's a very real promise.
Yes.
Like for him, because he's like, you know what? I gotta get serious. No Twitter, no Facebook. I'm getting real. Everybody better watch out.
Yep. The skaters and their Twitter.
I'll try not to tweet about anything that I'm doing, but if I do, you can follow me here when I get back.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I bet that promise is gonna last maybe 24 hours, and that's being optimistic.
Tops.
He's pretty young, so I don't really see that happening. And again, like, there is sort of that idea prevalent in this as well of, like, being on social, like, being a presence on social media in order to stay relevant. Because like, even in the last episode, like, Guangji didn't want to go to Hot Pot. He's like, I don't like Hot Pot. And then Leo's like, oh, well, Victor's there. And he's like, well, I gotta go get a selfie.
Okay. Gotta see that. Get some pictures.
Yeah. So that's just one of the many little details of the show that I just find absolutely delightful. So then Chris has his free skate, which is Rhapsody Español, which it was so interesting because, like, his first song is so overtly sexy. You know, I mean, just the lyrics are, like, literally about, like, getting it on.
But
so.
you could essentially replace, and I just took my glasses off for dramatic effect, but you could essentially replace the Intoxicated with Britney Spears' Toxic.
Right. And it's 100%. Like,
still
oh my God.
Pure sex. Like, that's the only thing that's, like, Intoxicated, it's probably going to sound like Toxic. Oh, it doesn't. Well, it would probably work here anyway.
I'm pretty sure you actually could just, like, put Toxic as the background music of that.
Get on it.
And it would basically work.
Same folks who are doing the Jimmy Jr. as Chris, do this too.
Yes. Because butts, man.
I know.
But we see here that Chris really is a very good skater. I mean, we know because he placed so high in the Grand Prix Final last season, but, like, you see that, like, that fire coming out, and just he starts to bring it, and it's pretty great.
He's a phenomenal skater. Like, there's no doubting it. Character quirks aside, the character has earned everything that he has gained, and it's really the... You kind of consider Yuri a threat at this point. Like, he's an amazing skater, sure, but Yuri's beaten him before, so there may not be leading up to the Grand Prix Finals.
So
there's too many names of tournaments.
Yes.
But Chris is the first person that comes in that I think they're trying to tell the audience, oh, Yuri's not that great. Like, Yuri's good and the best in Japan, but there's definitely better skaters out there.
There's definitely... And it's not even necessarily, like, oh, they're definitely, like, so much better, but, like, there's definitely some serious competition out there. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that, Chris is the first person who you really start to kind of feel that from. Even though Pachit is the one who ends up winning this event.
Winning the gold,
Still feel like, okay, but that was just because his performances were flawless. Like, the technical difficulty of PJ's programs is not anywhere near what Chris or Yuri is skating.
Yeah, and I mean, he points that out.
Yeah.
There's still a gap there also.
Yeah.
Despite having trained. And from Yuri is steps above him.
Right.
And then there's Chris who is...
Right. Well, and we also get, you know, some of Chris's relationship with Victor, because Chris is older also. Chris is like 25, which is, that's terrible, but that's, like, kind of old for a skater.
It is. No, it is.
And you hear about, like, the first time that he and Victor met one another, and basically Chris had just made his senior debut. I think it was at Worlds, he said, and Victor won. And
because I think Victor said see you at Worlds.
Oh, see you at Worlds. So I don't remember what competition it was then that they met.
I think it was the same competition that Yuri took the, like, I think it was the junior championships where Victor won his first juniors, and then Yuri took that costume. But I think so. Either or, it was on the tour where he did that program,
right? Mm-hmm. So basically they and he kind of talks about how, like, Victor, and we knew this to a certain extent, but it was like that Victor made such an impression on him, and he just always wanted to catch up to him, mm-hmm. like, as a skater. And so the fact that, you know, Victor isn't competing anymore, like, that was part of what led Yuri to the sort of to discover a new level of Eros in the last episode. Mm-hmm. But we also see now that, like, Chris is getting serious again, and it's like, okay, but I gotta stay in the game. I gotta show people that, like, you know, that sort of, like, the mature sexuality of his performance, there's kind of a lot more merit to that in some ways than, like, Yuri's sort of innocent discovery of sexuality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Also, a lot of folks in chat and on our hashtag YuriABTV are saying that Chris was such a cute little boy.
He was such a cute little boy. Also, his coach, by the way, is like the most accurately animated white person I've ever seen in an anime.
He's a Swissman.
He looks so white.
Yeah.
but like, Chris just has an amazing, amazing performance. And so basically, like skater after skater is having this totally incredible, flawless performance.
Yeah.
Peachy included.
Dude.
Who skates to Terra Incognita from The King and the Skater 2.
There's gotta be a sequel.
He's adorable. But,
and that's kind of what, like, pushes Yuri to get to, like, such an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
The first skater that we see, like, really have a little bit of a time, though he manages to make a comeback, is good old Yorgi.
Aboard Yorgi!
Oh, Yorgi.
Oh, he skates to Tales of a Sleeping Prince. Which, I don't know if this is supposed to be a song from Tales of a Sleeping Prince, or this is just the name of the song. In my head, it's this, like, amazing reverse Sleeping Beauty, because the song is sung by a woman, and it's Tales of a Sleeping Prince, not Princess, so...
And yet he seems to be playing both the prince and the princess.
Yes.
It gets very convoluted.
Our poor boy, Yorgi, he's so caught up in his own head that he is both... The mistress of all evil that enacts the curse upon his beloved,
yes.
And also the print dress, like, his outfit is reminiscent of that of Sleeping Beauty's blue outfit, and yet he's the prince that's gonna save her. And I also love the minor attention to detail in his fantasy, where it's like he's looking at all the pictures of social media, and then his girl's sleeping with the phone.
Oh, yeah.
God, but he's way too many themes, way too many characters. Maybe it's a little bit complicated, and him getting caught up in the real world implications of it didn't lead him to have the best performance.
Yeah, right. I did like Yakov's response, where he, you know, is basically talking about Yuri as a skater, and he says that he's the only one of his students that's, like, really receptive to his coaching, and that's his greatest weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's kind of a nice parallel in some ways between, like, it's basically one of those things where if Yakov is like, Yorgi, maybe we need to work on this thing or that thing, and he's like, yeah, absolutely. And if he were to tell Yorgi, like, ooh, let's not do the quads here, he'd be like, okay. Unlike Victor, who was previously one of his pupils, so to speak, and Yurio, who's just, like, all over the place, just doesn't listen to anybody.
We got a whole bunch of reaction from the chat about our boy Yorgi. Tickle Pink says, apparently the song was supposed to make Yorgi seem creepy. I don't know if that came across. Arcane Theorem. Yorgi is the obsessive stalker I fear of meeting in real life. Jessica Bryant, it was disturbing. Sorka 42, Yorgi freaks me out. Silver Knight 72, oh, Yorgi, I can't. Kat S. Yorgi is a meme I can only remember the Bring Me to Life edits of.
This is so good.
Corin Yee, Yorgi's going through a phase.
Yes, he is.
Very long.
Quirky Girl 22, Yorgi is Maleficent live action.
But it's like a one-man show of Maleficent.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
He would be a magnificent one-man show,
Again, my roommate was like,
Oh, I get why she left him. We have Alexis on the line calling in, so let's get her lovely voice in the studio, and then we will proceed to talk about the end of this episode.
Alexis. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
hi,
Alexis. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm good. I had to call in at this point in time because I had to talk about... Yorgi.
Yes, Alexis, please chime in on Yorgi before we move on.
Yes. Yeah. No, I just loved it because the fact that you guys are talking about it, and I have a delay since I'm watching you guys on my giant TV at home.
Nice.
And my dog thinks that we're in the studio, so he keeps trying to scratch at the TV. But like, I was also thinking about the fact that I was thinking of the Bring Me to Life memes, but I also love it because I got everybody at my job to watch this now, and they all were just dying at his performance, and it made me really sad.
Oh, God, he's a lot.
But, no, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Yorgi, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, Yorgi has his performance. He falls at one point, and so he does okay.
He's fine.
But, and I mean, and he finishes the program. Like, Anya walks out on him in the middle of the program.
Dude, his freak out. Once he got super emotional, like, Anya, why? No! Like,
and then it was like,
that reaction.
And then it was
though.
Like, I couldn't tell if he got over it or he was just so delusional that he's like, whatever, she'll come back.
Yeah. They just went to get popcorn or something. Whatever, it's going to be fine.
Pretty sure it's option two. but anyway, and then, so meanwhile, Yuri's been having this, like, total meltdown. He turns off all the TVs in the, like, warm-up room because he just can't handle, like, seeing everyone do so well.
Yeah, he's losing it.
And so Victor's like, let's go warm up somewhere else. So he drags Yuri to the parking garage so that he can, like, basically confront him about what's going on with him. And he realizes that, you know, Yuri still hasn't slept at all, and he's having a total meltdown, and he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't really know. I'm just gonna, skater's hearts are real fragile. I'm just gonna throw some stones.
Common Russian mental attitude. I must break him.
Yes.
And so there he goes.
Yeah. So basically he tells Yuri, he's like, listen, if you screw up the free skate and miss the podium, like, I'll take responsibility by resigning as your coach.
Wrong.
The perfect
In,
response.
No.
Why would you say that?
What is
no
with you?
And that's right. Yuri understands, like, where this is coming from and why he's doing it. He's like, are you serious right now? This is how you're handling it?
Right. And then
you
Victor's like, no, I was kidding. I didn't mean
that. Why would you care about something like that?
He's crying. I don't know what to do.
I know. And Yuri's response, too, of, like, because Victor's like, I don't know what to do when people cry in front of me. Should I kiss you? I don't really know. And Yuri's reaction of, no, I just need you to believe in me more than I believe in myself.
So this is ugly tears, all of it.
Yep.
This is the most relatable, like, argument I think they have.
Yes.
Because I've been there. That is me and my husband. In a lot of, like,
no, like,
because I
yeah,
freak
I was
going to
say the same
out.
Thing. Sorry, go ahead, Stacey.
No, like, I'll freak out, especially when I'm doing something big or new. And he doesn't handle it exactly the same way. So it's like, well, what do I do? I'm going to, like, just try to talk you through it. Keep going, you know, try action after action. And it's like, no, just. I'll be fine. I'll be okay. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, so that was really, like, one of those moments where it was like, wow, yeah, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, I loved that moment between the two of them because, again, like, it's so much of this show is about, again, like, in a very realistic way, like, unreliable narration because you can only see your own perspective. Like, you can try to be open to other people's point of views, but ultimately, like, you see everything through your own eyes. And also just that, like, communication breakdown. And this is an instance of, you know, they weren't really communicating with each other. And Yuri admits that he was worried that Victor
did want to quit. And Victor's like, no, I don't want to. And Yuri's responsive, I know.
I get that.
Like, it's the kindest, nicest argument yes. that just keeps elevating. But when it comes to this scene, if folks weren't invested in this relationship, regardless of how you feel about the relationship, however you feel about the relationship, this made everything, because it wasn't by the ice, because it wasn't directly, like, exactly related to, well, that triple sow cow that, that nobody knows what that may, people may not know what a sow cow is, but this was a moment where people go, oh, these are human people that I can relate to, that I can understand, that I can empathize with, that I can see myself going, all right, anything that these two people are trying to tell is a story. Anything that these two people are going for, I will follow them.
Yeah,
because it's too real.
Yeah,
it's too real.
It really is. And I mean, we haven't had an opportunity to see such a nice moment that, again, like, it's not really related to skating between the two of them, like, since a couple episodes back when they were in Japan. You know, it's been very focused on skating. And even at the Japan skate competition, the conversations of, like, you need to be, like, kind to your juniors, like, they all look up to you, like, that is still directly related to skating. And this, yes, it is from the point of view of, like, oh, you need to believe in yourself, but it's really more about the two of them and their relationship with each other.
Yeah
and what kind of emotional support that they need to be able to offer in that situation.
It was really good.
It was
this is where the tears started for me.
So you and a lot of other people in chat too.
And started for me again when I rewatched this episode. I was like, I'm gonna be fine. I think I cried more actually the second time. But anyway, Leo de Iglesias has a terrible day, unfortunately. He was in a great position to advance. He did not have to score that high. We don't see his performance, but whatever happened, he ended up in sixth place. But I did love that moment between him and his beautiful androgynous lady coach.
Oh my God.
Where she's like, you're a star. Your message was heard. Like, it was great.
It was so sweet.
Yeah, it was really nice. But because, like, the first few skaters, it's like, flawless, amazing, great. And then the two people that go directly before Yuri, it's like, ooh, not so great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Yuri goes to take the ice and he, you know, goes out there with Victor. And Victor, like, goes to give him tissues from his little tissue box that has the Makachine, like, cover on it, which you can totally buy on eBay.
Yep.
And I'm absolutely going to get one.
Really should,
to five. So he blows his nose and then goes to, like, he's going to hand Victor the tissues, and he, like, drops them so that Victor, like, leans over to catch them. And then he just, like, pats him on the head.
Well, he does the same thing that he did back in practice where he's like, are you balding? Yeah. He's just like, oh my God, I'm old. Why would you point that out? It's like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Like, it was a throwback to an adorable moment for the audience.
Yeah.
And yet everybody else is like, what the hell is he doing?
I know. What is going on?
He's making his coach freak out before his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, completely getting the other side of the entire night previous.
And it's great because at this point, Yuri's calmed down, and now Victor's the one freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is terrible.
It's so true.
And you're just like, no, look, we're good now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. We're here. It's happening.
Right. And Victor still can't quite process that because when Yuri starts to skate, he's like, why is he smiling?
Why does he look so happy right now?
He's
like, no, he's calm.
Yeah.
He's good.
And I loved that Yuri was like, I actually feel a lot better now. Like, and he basically brings up, he's like, you know, I never cried before a competition. Before, I've cried plenty of times after, but, like, this was, like, he had that sort of, like, emotional release beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so instead of putting all of that into nerves, it was like, no, I can, like, relax into this performance now.
Yeah.
And I'm good, and I'm gonna surprise Victor with how, like, fine I am now and how well this performance is gonna go.
And he blew everybody's mind by going for Victor's signature move, which is the quadruple flip.
At the very end.
He totally whiffed it. But the fact that he went for such an intense move at the end of a program like that shows how well he did the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't understand how that type of a move is affected by scoring. Like,
well, basically, when you do a jump, you're being judged not
So there's like a couple different things that you're mm-hmm. being judged on, obviously, like the launch into it. But the most important thing is getting the right number of rotations.
Sure.
Right. So basically with the quadruple flip, he managed to get the right number of rotations. So even though he fell, he only got a partial deduction for okay. that element.
Mm-hmm. But he got full points for doing the move. But some of the other presentation stuff is where he lost points.
Well, he lost points on the okay. technical as all well right. for that. But it's like he didn't. So basically, it's like every jump is worth a certain number of points. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get full points on that, but he actually got most of the points on that because he got in enough rotations.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, he like totally blows everybody's mind. Most of all, Victor's.
He's just sitting there losing it as the performance
yes,
goes on.
Yes, and when Harry looks over and Victor's covering his face, he's like, I don't know, is he mad? Is he crying? Oh, I don't God, know what's happening.
Tickle Pink in chat, Yurio's face really seals how important that moment is.
Yes, mm-hmm. it very totally true. Does. Yeah. And yeah, and the fact that he was able to execute it at all that late in the mm-hmm. program, because they bring up, they're like, Victor did that move all the time, but not this late in the program. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. he's done so many jumps at this point. It's exhausting. And they do comment a lot of the time on, like, how Yuri has amazing stamina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, he doesn't even look tired. It's amazing. But
he's a magical child.
He is. He's totally magical. But then, you know, he sees Victor, like, running towards like where you can exit the where you can back. Exit the ice. I'm getting so excited, guys. I'm sorry. And so then, you know, Yuri starts like skating over to him and you know, he's expecting that they're gonna embrace because that's, you know, pretty standard. They have that kind of relationship. But before Yuri can get to Victor launches himself at Yuri, and he grabs him and he kisses him, and it's amazing. And they absolutely kissed. I don't care what anybody says.
The director or one of the writers,
it was Kubo-sensei.
Kubo-sensei said that it was a kiss.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I also really enjoyed about what she was saying, so the only people who've been freaking out being like, I mean, I'm like 99.9% sure it was a kiss, but like maybe it wasn't. I just need like confirmation. The only right. people who needed confirmation were Western fans.
Oh yeah, apparently the Japanese fans were all perfectly accepting. Yeah. Like it was fine, moving on.
Yeah, that's exactly what Mitsuro Kubo said. She mm-hmm. said, she's like, it's really funny to me that like the Americans need this confirmation. The Japanese fans didn't seem to need it.
No. Yeah, we don't.
Need a lot of assurance.
We don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're used to really gratuitous like sex and violence, basically, in Western programming.
But also like, it brought front and center. Maybe yes. not necessarily gratuitous mm-hmm. and like macking out or whatever, right. but right. like crane shot and like circle around yeah, it yeah. and like a
dramatic.
Big dramatic and like really going.
Yeah.
Oh, they're kissing.
Yeah.
So with something like this, maybe we don't get it the first time.
Yeah. I mean, it was dramatic enough.
Yeah.
In context, and it absolutely earned it and led up
oh,
to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
so
God.
We're just a little insecure about what we get in that.
Well, and I mean, and understandably so, mm-hmm. from the point of view that, you know, there is so much, and you know, in anime, especially in sports anime, are very guilty of this. There mm-hmm. is so much. What, again, Western fans would term as queer baiting mm-hmm. going on, mm-hmm. where basically it's like all these boys in like sexy situations, but they're not in relationships with each other. They're definitely straight, quote unquote. Mm. So, but I mean, that's not what's going on here at all. Oh, I mean, this is, you know, and even from the point of view of like, you know, stuff that is like yaoi or shonen-ai, like they're like this. It's one of the things that's really been praised about Yuri on Ice is the fact that, like, it kind of transcends any of that, where it is very much, like, a thing that they're boys who are in love with each other. It's not a thing in Yuri on Ice. They're just two people who mm-hmm. are forming this relationship. And especially after the scene in the parking garage, like, this final scene in this episode was so earned and magical.
Raindrops on Roses magical. In the chat says, it truly was the ship of dreams.
Sailing off into the sunset.
Have you guys seen all those memes of the old lady in Titanic with like yes. the Yuri on ice? Like, just,
that's funny. I have
incredible.
Not seen those.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Amazing.
But before we get off this episode though, I did want to say, when I first saw this, everybody was like freaking out, oh, the kiss. But I was like, I think the scene in the parking garage,
I completely agree with you.
Is absolutely. So has so much more weight and indication
oh, yeah.
of
yes.
the future of their relationship.
Oh, completely. Mm-hmm. No, sure. I totally agree with
yeah.
you.
Without a doubt.
I mean, again, like I I loved the kiss, don't get me wrong, but there are so many other moments, the thing in the parking garage being one of them, and actually the next two episodes, I mean, the finale obviously is unbelievable, no spoilers or anything.
No idea what you're talking about.
But the next two episodes for me are actually, like, way more kind of, like, romantic and touching on a relationship level than the kisses in this episode.
Are we putting more pins in it until
episode
10?
Yeah, we're putting pins in it until episode 10. Okay. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Right. so anyway, moving on to episode 8. So episode, mm-hmm. at the end of episode 7, Pichit wins gold.
Yep.
Yuri skates well enough that he ends up getting silver, and then Chris takes third, mm-hmm. which is all Chris needed to get to not even have to compete anymore.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's
ready. He is in the Grand Prix final, 100%. The other skater who is going to definitely be in the Grand Prix final is Otebek, who we have not officially met yet. No. We see Otebek Alten a little bit in the background in some of the first episodes. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, so he is definitely going to be in the Grand Prix final as well. He's from Kazakhstan. Again, we will see
a very icy Eastern European. That's not mm-hmm. true at all.
No, it's not Eastern European. Yeah. Yeah, that's Middle Eastern.
But he's kind of an icy, cool.
Oh yeah, he does.
He's
cool.
We can see.
He's the coolest guy.
Yeah. But he. But anyway, so he. You know, we know we're going to see him at the Grand Prix final. So now there are four spots still available that will be claimed by skaters at the Rosslecom Cup, which is in Russia. So Victor is returning to Russia as a coach this time, not as their darling little star skater. I also want to give another shout out to Lois in this episode. And after I had this conversation with her, I totally did not watch hard for it because I just was so caught up in the skating like I always am. But apparently in the background, like in the audience in one of these during one of the short programs, she said that there's a background like character who looks a lot like Yevgeny Plushenko.
That's cool.
Yeah. That so now I need to watch it again. And she's like, I wish I'd screen capped it. I was like, I'll totally look for it. So if you guys notice it and want to screen cap it and use that Yuri ABTV hashtag, bring it. We totally want to see it.
Let's see it.
But anyway, so we meet a bunch of new skaters once again.
Yep.
We meet, well, first of all, Yurio is present skating in this event, so Yuri and Yurio will be facing off, hence the Yuri versus Yuri in the title. We also meet Michel Crispino, the Italian skater.
I feel like he's up there with
Yorgi 2.0.
Yeah, he is kind of Yorgi 2.0, but maybe worse.
I think so.
So basically, the Italian skater Michel Crispino, or Mickey, he has a sister named Sara. Not Sala.
Not Sala.
I don't know what that translation's all about, or those subtitles are all about. Yeah, her name is Sara, or Sarah, without an H on the end. Mm-hmm. And they're twins. And they have a very interesting relationship. More so on his end than hers, I feel.
Dude, yeah. No, she seems like the coolest chick. She's like, she's very self-aware. I'm a young woman. These are, like, men at their physical peak at a young age. Leave me alone for 20 minutes, please.
Yep.
God, yep. I don't blame her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's also competing in the ladies' event. I want to see her skate, by the way.
I do, too. I really
want to see Sara skate. I really want to see Mila skate. Mm-hmm. That's a dream for later on. We also meet their buddy, Emil Nikola, who is from the Czech Republic. Who is like, I feel like he's got like a little thing for Miki going on. Like, there's like a weird like love triangle happening here.
There's something.
There's
a lot of confusion.
Hey, you guys
in that
see,
trio.
It's like, hey, you guys seem into whatever it is that's happening here.
I'm down. Yes, I totally agree.
I'll go with you.
Whatever.
That's so true.
Yeah, he just seemed very, very chill about the whole situation. Just okay.
We also meet the Korean skater, Sungil Lee. Who is just says so much attitude.
Dude.
Oh my god.
Hey, you want to hang out?
No. I get nothing out of it.
And mind you, all of this happens in an elevator. It's amazing.
we had a lot of information thrown at us.
Yeah,
but in also, an elevator. How are there no, like, we had the press up interviewing Victor at the door, mm-hmm. and yeah. then everybody else is at the elevator, and there's nobody with just like a phone or right. anything. That's that
Victor's
seems interesting.
Distracting them all.
Victor's distracting them all. Very
yeah,
good.
That's true. Yeah,
their hero is back. They're yeah. really excited about this.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I loved when Yurio was walking by and Victor and they were like asking Victor questions, he's like, "Hey, look, there's Yurio." He just like goes over and he's like, "Did I tell you I choreographed his short program?" It's so good.
Nobody asked.
Yurio is not thrilled about that.
No, he is just really angry
all
through
the time.
This whole episode. Oh. Except
well.
When we see him with his grandfather.
The Ice Tiger of Russia.
Oh, yes. He does describe.
Which he calls himself.
No, that
right,
is his self-appointed title.
Right before throwing himself onto his grandfather.
I know. It's so cute. And that scene where they're in the car and he's like, "Oh, I made you pierogies." And Yuri's like, "Hey, Grandpa, have you ever had katsudon? It's this thing I had when I was in Japan." And he's like,
"What? My pierogies aren't good enough for you?"
That's not what I meant.
I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. Give me another one.
Just happy to be home.
It was so cute.
I want to tell you about my weird friend and dad, I guess. They're yeah. dating now. It's weird.
He's got a lot of feelings he has to work through.
So, dude, he's got a lot.
There's yeah. a lot going on
I
there.
I mean, yeah, because it's like not only... Is yeah, it's like he's dealing with the fact that, you know, Yuri beat him, so now Victor is his coach, and now, like, there's clearly something else going on between Yuri and Victor. And on top of that, Yuri has really stepped up his skating game, yeah. so it's like, there's a lot happening in his life right now. He's doing okay, all things considered.
All for a 15-year-old boy on top, like, just...
Yeah!
Just being a 15-year-old kid yeah. with girls being, like, like throwing
oh my
themselves
god.
At you.
His fans are nuts.
Oh my gosh, unstoppable.
Yeah, but so believable that you would have, oh, like, yeah. little, like, teeny bopper fans, basically, for this, like, cute young skating boy.
Sure.
Like,
who wears see-through clothes?
I know, like, come on.
And if you put the cat ears on him, they'll stay.
which they do. Like, as soon as he finishes his short program. Which only goes okay, because he falls pretty early on. And his grandfather doesn't make it out to see him.
Yeah. A little distracted by that.
I know. When he was like, "I really thought that I could find agape if my grandfather was here."
Well, and the other thing is, he's so upset about how supportive Yuri and Victor
are. Oh my god!
It's just like,
because Yuri, like, you thought he knocked it out of the park on a short program in the last one, and then this time around, he, like, straight up, like, grabs Victor by the tie and is like, "The performance has already begun." Like,
they've got this act going.
Bro. No, and then when he came out, it's like, "All right. Phase one, I did it. I gotta make sure right. that I'm on top of my game before they get on my bad side."
Yeah.
But then also, Yurio, the line was, "I'm not doing bad enough to where I need them to wish me good luck."
And it's such an interesting disconnect, too, because that's how Yurio's looking at it still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they're just being supportive.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, exactly. Like, they are just being supportive of him, and Yurio is so not receptive to that, because he is that person that's like, "No, I do everything on my terms, and I'm gonna be the best by myself." Like, he mm-hmm. just, he's not, like, accepting of affection yeah. at all. Well, let's put a pin in that.
And that makes it hard to perform a program
yeah.
based on unconditional love.
Yeah.
And this is his second time performing it, at least for a crowd, and yeah. he still can't feel it.
No,
he's
right.
not there. He said he's too. I'm too angry. I can't do this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did think it was cute though when they were wishing him good luck that Yuri said "davai," which is, you know, good
yes.
luck in
Russian.
And that was just the last thing. Like, no,
Russian.
You stop
no,
it.
But no, Victor, no, but Victor said yeah. "ganbatte," which yeah. is good luck in Japanese.
So
oh, it's so
yeah,
cute.
It's adorable. It's a good moment. It's a really good moment.
I just love Yurio, you guys. He's so precious.
You know what? He, yeah.
And the most precious thing about him, and also Victor to some degree, is the fact that they are so united in their hatred of another new skater who we meet in this episode.
Gigi Stan!
Jean-Jacques Leroy, the Canadian skater who I want to punch in the face at all times.
You can truly tell that this is a fantasy series because they made a douchebag Canadian.
I know, right?
What?
This is the most unrealistic part about the entire series.
That's it.
No, because guys, as someone who, when I was on tour, worked quite a lot in Canada, Canadians are militantly nice. Like, you will be at dinner with, you know, their family of six in a tiny, you know, town in
in
British Columbia that's 40 minutes away from the nearest grocery store, and they go, do you want a Coke? Yeah, Coke sounds great. Okay, great. Let's just fill everybody up in the van, and we're going to drive to the store and get you one. Like, no. Water is great. Water's fine.
I don't need a Coke. How about that? Oh, no.
Yep. But
Canadian Coke is pretty good, though. We'll
it's
say.
Really delicious.
Anyway.
But Jean-Jacques, or JJ, is...
Damn it, JJ.
He's... So, we talked about how Chris was in the previous episode, the first time we felt like, whoa, like there mm-hmm. is some serious competition out there. And JJ shows up and he's such a like smarmy douchebag. He's free skate. His short program is literally to like a song he wrote for himself, a collaboration with like a rock band.
You know what? I'm going to knock him down a peg. I'm going to say it's like Nickelback. Because if he's from Canada, if he's from Canada, one of the biggest bands from that country is Nickelback.
Okay.
So let's do that. Headcanon accepted. Right. Nickelback helped write the theme of King JJ.
Done.
And like, as we were listening to
it. I like the theme of King JJ, though, better than any Nickelback song.
Never made it as a JJ.
Do we want to credit Nickelback with the
we can.
King JJ?
With the theme of King JJ.
This is how you JJ style. But listening to the lyrics when we came into it, it was just like, this is so self... Like, I mean, first of all, King JJ. But second of all, I can teach the world. All you have to do is follow me.
Yeah.
Like
come catch up with
but
me.
But he's like, got, like, crazy fans that are, like, singing along.
They know all the words.
And clapping.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, there's a lot happening. And on top of that, he's a really good skater.
Yeah. Now we're back.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. He started his program with a combination, quadruple Lutz, triple Lutz?
Yeah. Yep.
Which is really difficult, mm-hmm. but he's just like, whatever, I'm the king.
He's good.
He's so annoying.
As Dalton and I in chat said, Jean Jackass.
Yes.
Done.
Sorry. Please tell me.
Arcane Theorem says, love JJ's tramp stamp.
Oh my god, yes, he does also have a tramp stamp.
And his shoulder tat is the maple leaf with like a tiger in it. And this, okay, dude,
that's so cool.
Aggressively Canadian.
Yeah.
Way too aggressively Canadian.
Yeah, it's too much. I can't handle JJ.
JJ. Why?
Maple syrup?
What?
Close enough.
Maybe. Yeah, close enough. But he's, like, a really good skater, and this is the first time that, like, Yuri doesn't finish after the short program, which is the program where he tends to perform more consistently mm-hmm. on top. Mm-hmm. He's in second. It's awful. It's awful. But I felt so alone because I felt like when this episode aired, like so many people were like, oh my god, I love JJ. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
I saw a bunch of comments like that too, and I was like, really? I mean, first of all, I think the first nail in the coffin is when Yurio's coming off the ice and he's heading towards him and he goes, oh, ladies first. And I was like, oh yeah, no.
Just because he's wearing cat ears. Mm-mm. What the hell?
I know. That's not cool.
That's it.
JJ,
you're done.
You're the worst, but you're in first place right now. So it's gonna be a time going into the next episode here, but we are starting to run short on time, and I do not want to neglect to give the proper shout outs to all of the amazing people who left us reviews on iTunes. Guys, it looks really good when you leave us iTunes reviews. Basically, when you leave us a review, you let us, our producers, know, like, hey, we like it when people talk about ice skating anime, or you know, you're on ice specifically, or it helps us to keep doing shows like this that potentially are more of a sort of niche audience
yeah.
and aren't necessarily mm-hmm. gonna, you know, draw in the same sort of wide mass appeal as like a Game of Thrones.
But, and yet we still do. We yeah. still tend to draw a very dedicated fan base,
yeah,
and we thank
yeah,
you very much.
You guys are amazing. So yeah, we got a bunch of reviews. So the first one I have here is from Larice RT. Insightful and funny hosts, ! Any fan of this show and podcast enthusiast should listen to this. Hope they continue with the podcast if the show gets a second season. Thanks. thanks. We hope the show gets a second season. For sure, it seems very, very likely.
Especially with the DVD sales.
Yes. It's basically all but confirmed at this point. So, yes, thank you so much. Next one is from Abzi Cat. Nobody I know likes to talk about Yuri on Ice, so it's like I have cool new friends who love it as much as I do, which is absolutely our goal with this show, is to provide other people with a space to talk about this really phenomenal show. That's, you know, the reason that we're doing this after show, is because it had such an impact on us that we just felt like, oh my God, I need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And why not do so on a public forum where other people can also join in that conversation? So thank you so much. Next one is by What Cheer Net. Netop? Sure. Sorry if I pronounced that differently than you envisioned. It says, your laughter is infectious and your commentary, especially around language translation issues, is illuminating. Excellent. Good fun. Exclamation point. The next one is by Rent Spring Next. These are all 5 stars, by the way. This group is a riot, full of not only fangirling joy, but also intelligent observations on the show, gender/sexuality representations in anime, and unique perspectives based on their knowledge of Japanese language and culture. Every discussion leaves me with a happy heart emoji.
Nice.
And then finally, by Miss K. Rose, what I love most about this show is that the hosts are fans of the show. It's so very clear that they love the show, and it makes it feel like hanging out with friends. It's been a blast, and you should also go watch the YouTube live stream if possible, because it's just a blast. Yeah, we love hanging out with you guys.
Yes, and everybody is pointing out, before we go, we have to talk about the cliffhanger at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So before we totally wrap things up here, there is a major issue that comes up. So not only is this the first time that Yuri is not in first going into the free skate, also, stupid Makachin, Victor's dog, got into some, what was it, pork buns or steamed buns?
They just said buns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And choked on one and is in the hospital. And, you know, Marine-san calls up her little brother, Yuri, and is like, yeah, I mean, we're at the hospital with him right now, but we don't know if he's going to make it.
Just super blunt.
Yeah.
That's
Mari, though.
Yeah, that's her.
But what I loved was that, again, we see that in the last episode, we sort of saw that switch, again, of, like, Yuri and Victor meeting each other halfway and Yuri gaining some, like, I don't know. I hesitate to use the word control, but that's, like, the closest thing I can sort of describe it as. Wherein, you know, in this situation, Victor wanted to stay. Like, if Yuri had not said, like, no, you need to go, I really think Victor would have stayed.
Well, he seemed to be arguing for it
pretty
ardently. I mean, and yeah, he probably would have. And so it's interesting to see Yuri, because he went through losing, you know, a beloved pet.
Yeah.
So, and he wasn't there for it. Right. So this is especially important to him.
Yeah.
So to see him fight for it, you know, and then Victor kind of push back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Raindrops on Roses mentioned that he found it interesting that Victor immediately went to Yakov instead of Celestino.
Oh, yeah.
Who was also there and is a former coach of Yuri. But that, there's that other level of trust that goes beyond Victor that's between him and Yakov.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yep. So basically, Victor's like, Yakov, I need to leave Yuri with you just for tomorrow.
Yeah. And he's like, What?
And poor Yakov, who's still clearly bitter about Victor leaving him.
Oh, so mad. He's so mad.
And so Victor's just like, I need this favor. Do this for me.
And I'm sure still a little upset about Yorgi, too.
Wow.
Really quickly, we did get a clear-up. Crossiro, I hope I'm saying that properly, in chat said that it was manju, red bean paste, wrapped in mochi.
Ah, okay.
So something a little stickier.
Yeah, it was not a good time.
No.
So Victor's going to go back to Japan, and Yuri is going to go into the free skate, which he doesn't always do as well in, without Victor there. So it's a scary
time. Well, every time he's done it, it has been like his final pose has been at Victor.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's sort of like the final thing of, how did I do? Did I do okay? Like that last final sort of look like he got here was like, is he crying or is he happy or is he upset? Yeah, I don't
Yep.
I don't know.
I mean, we know what happens.
But it's still.
Yeah. But I still remember that feeling. And I mean, for me, let's just wrap this up with, like, how did you feel after you saw this episode, having not seen what happens in the next episode? Did you go into it being like, well, this is it for Yuri? Or were you like, no, he's going to be fine?
I mean, partially, I was kind of excited. I was like, okay, yeah, Yuri's going to get his chance on his own now. Like, he's built up this confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's going to get a chance to kind of show off that confidence
on
without Victor right there. And, you know, the little separation could be good for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was looking forward to seeing what would happen there.
Yeah,
I was a little bit interested to see what the dynamic between Yakov and Yuri would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody seemed okay with it. Just by the way that we leave the episode.
Yeah.
So also, if Yuria would go back to being a little bit more friendly with Yuri, because there's it's still very competitive, but I'm sure that Yuria considers him a friend.
Yeah.
Despite
I think so too.
Having to skate against him so frequently.
Yeah.
But it's starting the series with the loss of Yuri's dog, with the loss of Vichan, you think, oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
And then you don't know that's a setup for, oh, no, that dog death happens in this universe, so this is a very serious thing.
Yeah.
There's something about poodles in that hot spring. But it made me hope for the best. And since they did have the interaction in episode 7 about whether that's a physical, just stand next to me and support me, or figuratively stand next to me and support me, he knows that he has Victor's support no matter what now. So
the
confidence is there, but there is always, as you mentioned, he's always done it for Victor. Victor's always been there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah.
And without finishing on top, thanks to King JJ, who knows
JJ.
Where it'll end up.
No, I was definitely in the same boat as you guys, where I was like, okay, the show is called Yuri on Ice. He has to make it to the Grand Prix final. Like, he's gotta be fine.
Okay.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is he ultimately we're gonna follow this guy to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, but we will talk about exactly where that goes next week. But now we gotta wrap things up and say goodbye here. So, Mark, where can people find you on the internet?
Really quickly, make sure to follow our Missing in Action compadre, Alexis Torres, at atorres890. She, unfortunately, her call dropped. That's why she just sort of stopped talking. But she has been in the chat, so make sure to follow her, because she's gonna post a lot about this show. And I'm gonna post a bunch about this show. If you don't follow me on social media, you probably should, because I'm posting GIFs and clips of some of our favorite moments from these shows. So that's at Mark B. Donica. Again, make sure to leave us reviews on iTunes as well.
Stacey?
All right, find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, and please come talk about Yuri with me on those. You can use the hashtag YuriABTV or just at me, but I will talk about it all day.
They're
no
gifts,
jokes.
By the way, I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet wherever Emma Fifes are sold at my name. Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. I'm on a bunch of shows at AfterBuzz. I tweet about them. I also am doing a new show over on Hyper RPG. It has officially been titled Pencils and Parsecs. It is a Star Wars tabletop role-playing game played by myself, Hector Navarro, Darren DePaul, and Kim Cannon with... game mastering by the wonderful Bert Jennings, so be sure to check that out at 9 o'clock p.m. on Friday nights, that specific time, on Hyper RPG's Twitch channel. Thank you so much to everybody who joined us live. You guys are a delight.
Always.
And, you know, keep using that hashtag to tweet at us. Stacey just said it, so I won't repeat it. And again, we will be back at 7 o'clock p.m. next week, same time, same place, to talk about episodes 9 and 10.
Them pins are coming out.
Oh, we're pulling all the pins out.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's changing style!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.